الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear Islami brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on this amazing silsila, where we will discuss stories of the glorious Quran. And these stories, as we always mention, are not fairy tales. These are stories that contain a lot of moral lessons for you and I. In the very beginning, I will encourage you, myself included, to make good intentions, as the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Therefore, don't delay. Make as many good intentions today. In fact, ulama al-kiram, the great scholars of Islam, they advise us when we wake up in the morning, start making good intentions from that time. Allah azza wa jal, I will not look at anything evil. I will not listen to anything evil. I will not indulge in anything evil, in any sin. I will lower my gaze following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will practice the sunnah. I will obey you, Azza wa Jal, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the beginning of your day, start making good intentions. It does have also a psychological effect that you're starting your day on a positive note. Obviously, we have to perform our Fajr Salah as well, and our other salahs which are compulsory upon us as Muslims, as believers, and make good intentions now that I'm listening, I'm looking at the silsila for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of my beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that what I learn, I will try my best to act upon it, to practice it inshaAllah ta'ala, and to teach others as well. Remember, if you learn something good and you teach your fellow Muslim, and if that person, because of your efforts of teaching that person, practices upon that, you also get thawab because of that person practicing. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. This is a form of spiritual investment for us. Let us think like this and let us try to implement this, inshallah Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, for those of you who were with us in our previous episode, do you remember we were talking about the best of stories of the glorious Quran, and that is Surah Yusuf. Ahsanul Qasas is what it is called, the best of stories. And in our previous episode, we had mentioned the situation of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Today we will continue from where we left off. But for the benefit of those who were not with us, in a summary, we had mentioned how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam conspired against him and threw him down the well. He was then sold for a few dirhams only as a slave, as a runaway slave. And finally, due to his handsomeness and his popularity amongst the people, that they saw his beauty and his husn, the Aziz, the king of Egypt, purchases him and puts him in his royal palace. Zulaykha, who was the queen of the king of Egypt, she tried to seduce him and she actually locked him up in a room. And she revealed her evil intentions. He began to run away from her. And she grabbed his qamis, his robe, his shirt from behind as he was running away. And it tore. When the king of Egypt entered at that time, she was accusing him that he had evil intentions. And Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he tells the king, he tells the Aziz, the king of Egypt, that I'm innocent and she is at fault. And to prove this, there was a four-month-old baby in that room. A four-month-old baby. And Yusuf alayhi salam says that this baby will prove my innocence. And this is recorded in the glorious Quran as well. And the king is astounded. And how can a four-month-old baby prove your innocence? How can a baby talk? And Yusuf alayhi salam says, by the will of Allah azza wa jal, Allah azza wa jal will enable this infant, this 4-month-old baby, to talk and to prove my innocence. And the baby says that, look at his shirt, where is it torn from? If it's torn from the front, then he is at fault and she is correct. But if it is torn from behind, then he is correct and she is at fault. And when he investigated, he found that the back of the shirt of Yusuf a.s. was torn, and therefore he reprimanded and he scolded Zulaikha. But due to her insistence, he put him, the Aziz, the king of Egypt, put Yusuf a.s. in jail. And this is where he began interpreting dreams, and his interpretations were correct. And finally, this led him back to the royal palace, where he becomes the minister, and he takes ownership of the security of the government, of the kingdom. He takes security of the administration as well. His brothers, they arrive for food, because now there's a famine, there's a drought. And he keeps Binyamin, who is his blood brother. The other brothers, they are all brothers, stepbrothers of other mothers. But Binyamin, Sayyidina Binyamin, is his blood brother, and he keeps him with him. We are at this stage that Yusuf a.s. reveals himself that he is Yusuf, he is their brother, and he informs his brothers that today I will not condemn you. You can go. I have forgiven all of you for everything. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive you all. Now return home. Now at that time, because the father of Yusuf a.s., Nabi Ya'qub a.s., he was so attached to Yusuf a.s., because Yusuf a.s. was also a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the father, Ya'qub a.s., is a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the son, Yusuf a.s., is also a prophet. He had a deeper affection and compassion towards Yusuf a.s. When he goes missing, Ya'qub a.s., he cries so much and so much that he loses his vision, he loses his sight. Now, Yusuf a.s., he pardons his brothers, and he tells them, take my qamis, take my shirt and go to my father, place it over his face, and inshallah ta'ala he will regain his eyesight. And therefore, Yehuda, who was the elder brother, he says, I will take this shirt to my father, because it was I who was the main person who put the blood of a goat on the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam and took it to our father, Ya'qub alayhi salam, and told him that the wolf had mauled and attacked Yusuf a.s., who was a little boy at that time, and had eaten him up. At that time, I took that shirt which had the blood of the goat, and I made my father very sad, very grief-stricken. And now, I will take this shirt to our beloved father to make him extremely happy, subhanAllah azza wa jal. Therefore, Yehuda, the eldest brother, from Egypt, he goes all the way to Canaan, taking this shirt of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. He returns home and he places this shirt on the face of his father, Ya'qub alayhi salam. And what do you think happens? Allahu Akbar. Immediately, the eyesight of Ya'qub alayhi salam is restored. In fact, as Yehuda is approaching home, Canaan, with this shirt of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, the father says, I smell the fragrance of Yusuf, subhanAllah. This is also documented in the glorious Quran in Surah Yusuf. So now his eyesight is regained. After tahajjud, Ya'qub a.s. makes dua for all his sons, and his supplication, his dua is accepted. Therefore, a divine revelation, a wahi, descends upon Sayyidina Ya'qub a.s. that the mischiefs and the evil actions of his sons were forgiven, subhanAllah. Now their preparations for their departure to Egypt, because now the king of Egypt, the governor, the ruler, is Yusuf a.s. And he instructs Yehuda and the brothers, when you go home with this shirt of mine, I want you to bring the whole family, because now there's sons, there's grandsons of Ya'qub a.s. Bring all of them, bring my parents as well, and come to visit me, subhanAllah azza wa jal. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he now sends 200 riders with his brothers to carry his father, to welcome and accompany his father and other family members. when Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, he gathers all the family members. They were 72 or 73 in total, with the grandchildren as well. Sayyidina Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam takes them with him and leaves Kana'an for Egypt. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal granted so much of blessings in the offspring and the progeny of Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam that when the Bani Israel, they left Egypt at the time of Sayyidina Musa Kaleemullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, they were in the amount of more than 600,000. Allahu Akbar. Although the era of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is approximately 400 years after that of Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam when he left for Egypt. When Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam reaches near to Egypt along with his family members, Sayyidina Nabi Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam welcomes him with 4,000 soldiers of his and many Egyptian riders. The Egyptians, they stood in rows and they waved expensive flags that were made of silk. And this julus, this procession, accompanied the guests all the way as they entered the city of Egypt. What a welcoming, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, for his father, who's also a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, and for the other family members. Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam was approaching with the support of the hand of his son Yehuda, because now he's gone frail and weak. When Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam looked at the soldiers, those 4,000 soldiers and the riders as well, he inquires and he asks, is this the army of the Egyptian Pharaoh? Yehuda replies, no, my dear father, this is the army and the soldiers of your son Yusuf, who has arrived with his army and riders to welcome you. Allahu Akbar. How he must have felt, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. When Sayyidina Jibra'il Amin alayhi salam saw Ya'qub alayhi salam in the state of surprise, he says, O Prophet, raise your gaze towards the sky and see how huge numbers of malaika, of angels, are present to also participate in this joyous occasion. Subhanallah. These angels have been crying in your grief for a long time since you have lost Yusuf alayhi salam. The sounds of the angels' invocations, the clamor of the horses, created a very beautiful and amazing atmosphere. When the father and son, they finally came close to each other, face to face, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam intended to compliment the salam, to make salam to his father Ya'qub alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam immediately comes in and says to Yusuf alayhi salam, just pause for a moment and give your respected father a chance to convey his heartfelt greeting first. Subhanallah. Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, he makes salam to his son Yusuf alayhi salam in these words, and he says, As-salamu alayka ya muzhib al-ahzan. Oh, the reliever of all sorrows, peace be upon you. Subhanallah. Thereafter, the father and their son, they warmly embrace each other and they weep, they cry abundantly because of this overwhelming joy and happiness. They go into a welcoming tent that was beautifully decorated and embellished. After staying there for a short period of time, when they went to the royal palace, Sayyidina Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam helped his honorable father in making him sit onto the royal throne. All 11 brothers and the honorable mother of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam sat around him, and all of them made sajda, prostrated together in front of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. At that time, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he addresses his honorable father and he says, as is mentioned in Surah Yusuf, verse 100, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أبت هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل قد جعلها ربي حقا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم من البدو من بعد أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي إن ربي لطيف لما يشاء إنه هو العليم الحكيم. Translation from Kunz al-Iman. O my father, this is the interpretation of my former dream. My Lord has made it true, and indeed He has granted favor upon me when He brought me out of the prison and brought you all from the village after Shaitan, the devil, had created a resentment between me and my brothers. Indeed, my Lord may make easy whatever He wills. Undoubtedly, He is the all-knowing, the wise. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means that my 11 brothers are the stars. My father is the sun, and my mother is the moon. Do you remember, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, in the previous episode we had discussed this. Yusuf alayhi salam, he has that dream that 11 stars and the sun and the moon are making sajda to him. And his father says that do not divulge and do not inform your brothers of this. Now this dream is fulfilled in this action of theirs. All 11 brothers are around them. The mother, the father is there and they're making sajda. But note one thing, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, that ulama-i kiram, they advise us and they inform us, they educate us, that this sajda is not a sajda of worship, it is a sajda of ta'zeem, of respect, which was valid, which was permissible in those eras, in those nations, and in that time. However, now we are the ummah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even this sajda is not allowed. Sajda of worship is only and only for Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And sajda of respect for a person is not allowed in the ummah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This historical event had taken place on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharramul Haram. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Historians have mentioned that Sayyiduna Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam stayed with his son, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, in Egypt, with prosperity, with affluence for 24 years, subhanAllah. When the time of his apparent demise neared, he mentioned in his will that his body must be taken to Sham, to Syria, and buried at the feet of his father's grave, Sayyiduna Abi Ishaq alayhi salam. Therefore, after his apparent demise, Sayyiduna Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam's blessed and sacred body was transported all the way from Egypt to Sham, to Syria, in a wooden box, in a wooden coffin. And exactly at the same time, his brother, Ghaith, also passed away. The birth of these two brothers took place at the same time, and both of them passed away at the same time, and were buried in the same qabr, in the same grave. Both the brothers lived to an age of 147 years, subhanAllah. Sayyiduna Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam returns to Egypt after the burial of his honorable father, Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, and his uncle, Ra'ith, and ruled over Egypt for 23 years. Thereafter, he too apparently passed away. After the apparent demise of Sayyiduna Nabi Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, a great dispute arises amongst the people about where they should bury him. People of every area, they insist that he should be buried in their city, in their village, in their area, in order to attain his blessings, subhanAllah. At the end, it was unanimously decided that he should be buried in the middle of the river Nile, so that the water of the river may touch his sacred qabr, his sacred grave, and therefore all the people of Egypt may gain his blessings. Therefore, he was placed in a marble coffin and was buried in the middle of the river Nile. This was until after 400 years, when Sayyidina Nabi Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam takes out this blessed coffin of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam from the river Nile and buries it amongst the graves of his ancestors in Sham, in Syria. Subhanallah. At the time of his apparent demise, the blessed age of Nabi Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was 120 years old, and his beloved father had passed away, as we mentioned, at the age of 147 years. His grandfather, Sayyidina Nabi Ishaq, ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, his blessed age when he passed away was 180 years, and his great-grandfather, Sayyidina Nabi Ibrahim, ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, his blessed age when he apparently passed away was 175 years old. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, we have learned so many beautiful Madani pearls, Madani lessons from the story, Ahsanul Qasas, the best of stories of the glorious Quran, which is Surah Yusuf itself, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and the situation that he was in. Try to overlook, especially when it comes to spouses, when it comes to children and their parents, when it comes to fellow Muslims, try to overlook those things which are insignificant. Try to overlook the trivial things, the little things. Try to forgive. It will make us better people. We will be able to sleep better at night because we don't have the tension of having grudges for people. May Allah will make us amongst those who forgive others. Because we ourselves, we need forgiveness from others. We need forgiveness from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, Dawood Islami is working for this very purpose, to reform ourselves, to help reform all the people of the world through its Madani activities, through its different departments. And currently, as we speak, Dawood Islami has approximately 103 departments that are serving the Sunnah, which are propagating Islam in different fields. In the field of madrasa, in the field of the schooling system, education system, amongst the inmates and the prisoners, for grown-ups, for children, for Islamic brothers, for Islamic sisters, with the weekly sunnah-inspired ijtima, with Darul Madina, Madrasatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina for grown-ups, and so many other activities. If you also want to get involved, then please don't hesitate. Do not let Shaitan, the cursed one, try to put waswasa and evil whispers in our mind and our heart, and we stay away from this beautiful Madani work of Dawood Islami. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran, Quran, Arbus.